When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Screencast special WWE WrestleMania Ranked. I'm Greg, that's Tim, that's Mike, that's Megaran, and on our way to the granddaddy of them all, we've invited a member of the wrestling world to pick a WrestleMania match each and every week for a rotating panel of guests to review and rank before we get to Philadelphia in April. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show called Gregway. You can get the Kinda Funny Screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Nathan Lamoth won't have to worry about that. But for now, hello, Megaran!
Hey, what's up, guys?
I'm so happy to be working with you again. It has been far too long. I rock. Wrestling is real. People are fake. At least twice a week on the ride to work. What an album.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm wearing the hoodie today.
Nice. Love it.
And now, real talk. Like, I've been a Megaran fan of his music for many, many years at this point. And I got to be honest, I think this might be, top to bottom, my favorite project. Like, I'm with Greg. I think it might be my most listened to project you've done. And that is saying something, because the Final Fantasy VII project, I've been in on forever. Of course, the Megaran, just like Mega Man 2 stuff, Mega Man 9 stuff, I'm all about. But this one, though, like, if you like wrestling, wow. You like rap music, this is the one to do.
Thank you. It's the first time that I really sat down and made an album that was like just a love letter to wrestling. Like, all the things I love about wrestling. It's so inside baseball to me, so I'm really surprised that people have been digging it like they have.
Well, but, you know, wrestling fans, we're all inside baseball. We're reading the dirt sheets. You're looking at the Twitter accounts. Yeah, I love every reference in every one of these songs.
A quick thing for people that might be like, I don't know that I love wrestling yet. I know a lot of Kinda Funny fans are watching this show, trying to get into it. Or maybe you're like, oh, I don't know if rap music's my thing. I'm not so sure. Listen to Sunset Flip, which is Megaran featuring Austin Creed.
Yeah.
And it is legitimately like one of my favorite genres of rap music is the back and forth fun storytelling type stuff where you get a group together to just tell a fun story and have fun. And y'all blew me away on it, man. It's a truly special track that I think anybody can find some fun in.
My favorite.
Thank you. Yeah, we have fun with that one.
My favorite, like, you know, little note to that was when it happened and like we were all talking to you about how great the album was. I hit up Creed and I was just like, great job. And then he's like, dude, we did that so long ago. And it was in the middle of COVID and everything. Like, I forgot about it. And then it pops like, oh, now all these people are talking about this amazing thing. Congratulations as always, Megaran.
Yeah, I mean, it was just timing. He was home, you know, nursing his injury and getting back. And like, it was just a really good time to do it. And we knocked it. He knocked it out of the park. He exceeds my expectations every time we work together.
So if, again, people have picked up on it, but if they don't know you, rapper, author, wrestling fan, and just all around great guy, we've worked with you for, you've been a supporter of Kinda Funny since before it was Kinda Funny, and we can't thank you enough for that. But of course, like I said, wrestling fan, and, you know, right around Royal Rumble time a couple weeks ago, you dropped a brand new video. You want to tell me about it?
Yes. Oh man, we did a Royal Rumble rap where I decided to use a little bit of my impersonation skills and imagine a few dozen of my favorite wrestlers popping up into the ring and talking their smack before they get a wrestling fight going. And man, it's so much fun. And my friend Air Dan Airways did great stop motion with figures. And Mike Rome popped in there and gave us some really cool like commentary bits. So it's I'm super proud of it. This was me just seeing how ridiculous and silly I could be with my love for wrestling.
So good.
And thank you.
Where can people get it if they haven't seen it? They're seeing clips right now, but where can they go get the whole thing?
Oh, you can get that on YouTube. It's streaming on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your music. Bandcamp, it's there too. So yeah, you can grab that wherever you like. It's called the Royal Rumble Rap. believe it's the only one of its kind.
You've got the market cornered. That's enough from hearing for us, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, it's time to rank and review another wrestling match from WrestleMania's history. If you missed last week's episode, our inaugural episode, I totally understand it. So let's take a look back to explain what we're about to watch.
What WrestleMania match do I think you should go back and watch? How about from WrestleMania 33, Orlando, Florida, my very first WrestleMania, and when I first became a part of the WWE family. This is the match that got me hooked, and that was a match for the Raw Women's Championship between Bayley, Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, and Sasha Banks. Watch it.
Thank you, WWE host Kayla Braxton, of course, another friend of the show, always too kind with her time to send that one to us. So let's go back to WrestleMania 33 live from Orlando, Florida on April 2nd, 2017 in front of 75,245 fans. We go to the tail of the tape. If this is your first time watching us and our brand new show, WrestleMania Ranked, we go and rank on the patented kind of funny 5-point scale, the hype package, the entrances, the match, the finish, and the overall. Timothy, let's start with the hype package.
I love that. I love that. Now, I will say it's fun because wrestling has been a part of my life for a long time. Like despite my age, being born in 1989, you'd assume, oh, I must have grown up with the Attitude Era. That is not true. The wrestling was not a part of my childhood in a major way. And a lot of my friends around me, Raw, SmackDown, all of that, they were all about it. It wasn't until about 2002, 2003, when my brother, Cool Greg, really started getting into wrestling when he was in like elementary school. I was in middle school. And that kind of was my pop-off moment. So the rise of John Cena, honestly, WrestleMania 20 being the first WrestleMania that that we watched actually as it was happening. This is a very different John Cena. He was out there battle rapping. Oh. He was out there fighting Big Show for the U.S. title. And we were hardcore into wrestling for a long time, which through an era that was kind of like now kind of looked back on very fondly. Yeah. At the time was kind of like, oh, what is this? You know, and all the old fans were like, ah, I'm over this stuff. But we were like eating it up. And then it hit a point maybe like 3 or 4 years into that I just dropped off. And I still respect the hell out of wrestling. I just wasn't keeping up. Maybe every once in a while I would like pop in and see, oh, what's happening at WrestleMania? What's up with Taker? Like things like that. Yeah. But it got to a point that like, I wasn't even watching WrestleMania when Taker lost the streak. Like, I got a phone call from James Burke.
Of course. Bro.
Dude, he was so upset. He was like, oh my God, I need to talk to somebody about this. And so that the Taker streak was kind of the moment where I'm like, I want to know what's going on. So I wanted to like look more into it. But even then, still dabbling. And yeah, it was like, we would watch the Rumble and we'd watch WrestleMania. Like from that moment on, I was like, of course I want to at least watch those things. And this Mania is, I think, the first one that I watched in my time back.
Sure, okay.
And
your return.
I was kind of easing into it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. My brother at that point had gotten back into it, Sasha Banks being his number one. And because of that, I was like, okay, I'm interested, but I loved the set of this WrestleMania, like how the roller coasters and the Orlando theme, like, so special. But I still was very unfamiliar with the players and with what was going on. So it's funny because last week I was very familiar. I was able to talk about the Kofi Daniel Bryan match. I watched the entire lead up to it. I had all of the story already. So watching the hype packages and everything was just reaffirming what I already knew.
Refreshing.
Right. Whereas here I'm kind of like, okay, you're really just filling me in on an era that I actually am not that familiar with. And I think it kind of puts me into a complicated spot because I now know more than I should because of where we're at now and also going back and like watching a lot of stuff. Yeah. Like this, it's so amazing to watch this like Women's Evolution WrestleMania match and understanding what the Women's Evolution meant, right? But to now understand what like the four horsewomen are and to look at this match and be like, something here is not like the others with Nia Jax in the place of what, you know, should have been Becky Lynch. And that to me gets very difficult to kind of reconcile knowing what I know now and not really quite understanding where this fits into the time and place of the WWE. So a lot of that's to say, there was a moment that I didn't actually watch live, but I know that the women's titles were just being shifted left and right. And it was like, how many times can we get this belt on and off Charlotte just so she can catch up to that Flair
sure.
record, right? Mm. So that's kind of the context of me going into rewatching this match last night. So having said all that, leading into the hype package, I was like, what are they going to give me and how good of a job are they going to do at putting me into this place in time with how confused I am on this? And I think they did a really good job. Like, I 100%. Think that it set it all up. They did a great job of showing the different beefs, having the moment of almost every combination of the women.
Why they're here
and a moment of them overpowering each other in a way that it kind of felt like, hey, the stakes are set and they're equal. Like, there's anybody could win this. Anybody could lose this. And it's going to be it's going to be a fun time to watch. I still couldn't get out of my head, why is Becky Lynch not here?
She wasn't the man yet. She wasn't that yet.
But she was one of the four horsewomen. And like, that's the thing. We still haven't got that match. And to get this, I can't get out of my mind that like it should have been that. Okay. Even at that time. And you know, Nia Jax, not one of my favorites. I understand her role. And I think that even her introduction into the hype package and stuff brought it down for me a little bit. So overall, I would give this hype package probably a 3 out of 5.
Ooh.
I'll give it a 3. But I will say one of the things that I loved the most is in the hype package, we saw, you know, the history of these women in wrestling in a lot of ways. And Bayley, Hugger Bayley, face Haley or Bayley. Oh my God. Huge fan. Miss her a lot. Seeing her have the picture of her, because she's from San Jose, which is very close to San Francisco. She came to San Francisco in like 2005, it must have been 2004. And she met John Cena at an optometrist in the Mission District of San Francisco. Barrett, if you could bring that picture up. So this picture they show in the hype package. What's so funny about this picture is I was there.
Oh,
literally here. With them. There's a picture of me with them, but more importantly, there's a picture of Cool Greg with John Cena.
Wow.
Like, we were literally there.
Baby Cool Bayley. G.
Which is so fun. And then taking that a little further, Kevin and Cool Greg got to go down to SummerSlam many years ago. I think it was actually the SummerSlam after this WrestleMania.
Okay.
That they were there. And Cool Greg got to show Bayley the picture. There's a video of that I want to pull up.
We're switching. No audio.
I was actually in San Jose when it happened, right? The title was gone. But I'm really excited to show you that we actually met John Cena at the same time in San Francisco.
That is crazy.
I think that's really unbelievable. Oh yeah, don't mind my San Francisco.
Warriors champion.
This is so funny.
I love how Cool Greg's just like not giving him the microphone.
Yeah,
like this is an early our early days of letting Cool Greg go off and do stuff for us.
I just love it. I love.
Oh,
it's so
insane,
much,
right? And I think that plays so much into the story and what they show in the hype package. But Mega Ran, I want to jump to you. First off, I don't know this about you. I would assume I'm on the same. But did you ever lapse? Have you ever walked away from wrestling?
Yes. Okay. I did. I would say, man, I was in and out a lot, but I think if I can bring it to one place, it's probably like I missed Edge, the entire Edge run, like Rated R Superstar.
Yeah.
I missed most of Cena. I don't know what happened. I just one day was like, yeah, I think I'm going to do something else. And like just stopped. I missed CM Punk's entire run.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
See, but I think you and I are similar ages, and for me, it was something about the hangover of the Attitude Era, where for me, it was I was nonstop Attitude Era, couldn't get enough. We went to college, and I found friends there that watched wrestling, but it was like my sophomore year, which would have been like 02, 03, where it was the same thing, where it was like suddenly people were just like, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, and you kind of fell out of it. And I was gone for a long time, too. And if it wouldn't have been for reviewing the games at IGN, I wouldn't have even had too many touchstones to come back to. But reviewing all the different wrestling games, it was that I was consuming and learning the roster and seeing how people evolved, let alone then being sent to events and seeing, you know, the occasional pay-per-view and stuff like that. So, Mega, for this one, 2017, I assume you were back. You're fully back for this.
Oh, I was in the building.
Yeah, my man.
I was up top. I was so high up. I got the worst seats ever for WrestleMania. I was behind the pyro, dude. Like, I was on the top of the Citrus Bowl. And when the pyro went off, I was like, oh, shit. Like, it was insane. We were at the very top of this place. And for that reason, I probably don't remember a ton of the show. Because
sure,
we were just like,
of course. That's how it always is, right?
Yeah, we're just in the moment, just having fun. Main thing I remember is, you know, this is when the Hardys returned, I believe,
right.
That weekend.
Yeah.
That was the moment of the entire weekend, because I watched the Hardys the night before at ROH do a ladder match. And it was supposed to be like their big finale. And then they popped up the next day at WrestleMania and people went nuts.
Insane.
So, yes, I remember that. But, yeah, I was way up top, but I was in the building. And it was cold. I remember that. And but yeah, I was back in. I got back in. I can specifically note my time coming back to wrestling with the New Day, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of happened right with that. You know, Austin would be like, I think maybe he like found me somewhere and starts telling me about what he was doing in NXT at the time. And I was like, all right, well, I think I'll give this a watch then. You know, he's a gamer. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, hey, I think I'm going to Raw. And I got this idea for his tag team. We're going to do this cool thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm invested. Let's see what happens. And so it was from that moment, basically watching his career, which is what got me back in. So that was probably late 2015.
Nice.
And then went to my first Mania, which was the one before this, 32, in San Jose. Was that the one in San Francisco?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So. Yep. Yeah, I was 31. Maybe that was 2 years before this. Then
Santa Clara, but, Levi's.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 31 was Levi's. 32 was 31. Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was when I kind of started my streak. So since 31, I've been at every WrestleMania.
Awesome. And, hell yeah.
So yeah, but I was out for a long time, but yeah, I would say another big thing that brought me back was the women for sure. Like just being able to see such amazing, women going at it every week. Like that really got me interested for sure. And it's funny when, Tim mentioned the lack of Becky in this match. I don't know what she was doing at this time. Can anybody research it? I don't know what, did she have a program?
Was she still doing the Irish dance stuff
I'm
coming
sure
out?
She was. Yeah.
It was a little steampunky, you know. I love that one of the 2K games where you can play through Becky Lynch's career, she has a different gimmick every match.
It's
a
different
uniform. It's a different gimmick every match. So I say that to say they were still trying to figure it out in 2017. Sure. So it took a little time, and then the man happens, you know. So, but they tried. You can't say they didn't try. The only thing with the set was that I was hoping there was going to be an actual working roller coaster.
Sure.
That maybe the wrestlers would come down on or something like that. And also interesting that Kayla said this was her first Mania. This was also Corey Graves' first Mania that he worked in.
No way.
So, yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah, they right at the beginning, they were like, yeah, it's for the very first time calling WrestleMania, you know. So so that was cool to see. Like, a lot of things began at this, you know, at this Mania.
Because Corey killed it.
Of course, yeah. As he always does. In our live chat, Mr. Hawks calls out, Becky Lynch was in the six-pack challenge match for the SmackDown women's title at this Mania. So she was there doing her thing over there.
I know, but it's just like,
I know.
When they introduced it even as the Evolution match, I was just like, it's not the thing. It's not the thing.
Yeah. Enough of that. Mega, what did you think of the hype package? What were your highlights, your lowlights, and your score?
I love, like we just talked about, Face Bailey. So heartwarming. I miss the genuine babyface Bailey.
She was such a babyface.
so likable, so lovable. And her coming into this match with all the odds against her, like I felt that. So I feel like this hype package delivered. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. The only thing is I think Nia was like a last minute addition.
Yeah.
And I think she had to beat Bailey in like a non-title match or something to get into this. So it's like, all right, we got to do that thing where we shoehorn as many people into Mania as possible.
I'm saying.
I think it happened like the week before or something like that. So that's the only part. But I will say, once we get into the match, Nia Jax looked amazing in this match.
Yeah, like, save it.
So good. But I'll get to that.
Mike, what about you? You did not watch this at the time. You were not into wrestling?
Of course not. As the newbie in the group, this was all new to me. I did not know about the Four Horsewomen. This was all new. Kind of getting some brief explanations from friends of what this was. But for me, I'm a damage control Bailey. So I'm all about bad girl Bailey. So when seeing Babyface, I was like, I was shocked. I was stunned. I was like, no way. This is the Bailey that I know. So it was fun to see that. I loved how they chronicled, of course, Sasha Banks and Charlotte going back and forth. And it was cool to see some wicked spots when they were walking up the arena stairs and she had her in between the handrail. That was some unbelievable stuff.
My note there says, Sasha making Charlotte tap in the crowd, parentheses, fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Awesome. Yes, oh, yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, you don't see that often. So that was really cool. And I loved the story, I thought was really strong between the two of them. And then we added in Bayley and her kind of rise propelled by the WWE universe. I liked that a lot. Of course, it felt very rushed in a small two-minute hype package to understand so much history. It felt like, oh, Bayley's out of here, out of nowhere. She was going to get rolled up by Charlotte Flair. Somebody interrupted. Now she's in the match. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And then Nia comes out of nowhere. So for me, the hype package didn't explain enough of the middle for me to get to where I needed to be.
Yeah.
But I understood the concept. So I'm on a 3 out of 5. I liked it, but it wasn't hype enough. It didn't get me, oh, man, this is going to be the match.
See, for me, right, what's interesting about this one, and I'll start at the end and go the opposite way, I think it's a 5 out of 5 hype package. My reasoning being is that when I think of a WrestleMania hype package, you need to be able to explain to the random lapsed person when they come in that they watch this and they understand the stakes. And I think this did such a phenomenal job of doing that while also hyping you up for what you're about to see. One of my things are, they're making history. Bayley has achieved her lifelong dreams, right? Like, showing this back and forth between Charlotte and Sasha, then the introduction of Bayley as the underdog, she's making it all happen, these are her dreams, here's her photo with Cena, then to have her win the title off Charlotte, see that it was via interference by Sasha, right? Start from this place for their match of like, yo, we're friends, let's just do it at Mania, live the dream. Charlotte comes out, then yes, Nia Jax, you're like, what, okay, what? It's just like her eyes, right? It's her entrance video of like, bruh. You're like, okay, she's a monster, but I still thought it set up stakes for everybody, right? When we were talking about our last match in episode 1 for Kofi Daniel, right? It was the idea of like, all right, cool, but Daniel Bryan's just there. Like, it doesn't feel like he's a motivating person in this. Whereas this felt like three competitors going back and forth in a whole bunch of interplay, and then the introduction of Nia Jax as this monster, this unstoppable force that then launches you into the match. And I think they delivered on that. So 5 out of 5 for me for what I'm looking for from a hype package. But Mega, even though you're in the nosebleeds at the time, you've watched it since then. What did you think of the entrances?
I thought these entrances were pretty awesome. Bayley coming out, you know, flailing everywhere. Just so excited. First of all, I get a little worried when the champ comes out first. I'm just way too old school.
Yep, me
so
too.
I'm like, uh-oh, what's happening? What's happening? But, you know, that aside, I thought her entrance was awesome at the big old inflatables by the ring. You know, the hugger section. Sasha came out looking like $1 million with the driver in the old school car. And who was that guy? I don't know.
Oh, when he popped out the first time, I was like, is that Gary Whitta? It looked like Gary from the front.
Yeah, but I thought these were amazing entrances. One note, and maybe it's on purpose. The ring announcer doesn't say anyone's weight except Nia Jax. And I found that a little bit offensive as a big guy.
That plays to her character, though, right? That was like key to the match of how heavy she was and how immovable she was. And again, I thought that all worked really well, but that's a great thing to call out.
But
that's a great thing to call out.
The only person in the match, though. I don't know. But yeah, I thought everybody looked like $1 million coming down there, including Nia. I mean, the moment she like stops, her hair is kind of blowing. I mean, she looks like a complete beast.
The wind. Everybody's hair was blowing.
Looked
so
awesome. It looked epic throughout.
Killer.
They looked like $1 million. Like, everybody looked amazing. So A+, 5 out of 5 on entrances.
Nice. I'm right behind
Charlotte. I didn't speak about Charlotte's throwback homage to her dad.
Yeah.
You know, like the peacock, like all the commentary sold that for me because of course I was there and didn't hear all that. But hearing them talk about it during the commentary about like the tribute to Ric Flair and what the peacock symbolizes and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. You know, so.
And the line, inhale confidence, exhale doubt.
Yeah.
Her father said she's second nature. Are you kidding me? Like, let's
and he's
go.
The nature boy, dude.
Wild.
For me, it's the line on Charlotte. Yeah. From Corey, the queen will once again ascend the throne. I'm like, damn, that's good. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, these entrants were hot. I gave them 4 out of 5 great as well. And like, all my notes are just everything you're saying, right? As opposed to the last Mania set we saw again for Kofi, right? Like, I felt like there was visually a lot going on. It was entertaining just to look at with the roller coaster, with the way they used the giant LED ramp or whatever you want to call it, the screen ramp and the screen. Sick. Like, they did a great job using everything in there. Bailey with the crazy ass cape thing coming down, the big wacky waving inflatable arm flailing Bailey buddies. Nia coming down, right? Then another great line, $1 million smile on a wrecking ball. I was like, oh my God. And also Mr. Hawks called that again. Nia has said in the past, she asks for her weight to be announced in order to put over the size difference. So there you go.
All right.
And Corey gave everybody the business. Sasha looks great coming out. You know, Sasha in general, like, is one of those competitors, I feel, that, like, you know, start to finish, as soon as she's out there, it is all eyes on her, right? Like, she is entertaining to watch, the way she, you know, does the thing and her nails and her fingers and the legit boss stuff. Like, this, I had such a good time just watching this. They were varied, they were different, and they had that pomp and circumstance we were talking about not having last week. But Tim, am I wrong?
I mean, dude, I loved the entrances here. Like, I almost want to give it a 5 just because, like, they did the damn thing. I'm going to give it a 4, though.
Okay.
And the reason I'm giving it a 4, Cool Greg, please forgive me for this. The entrances that are just like, hey, we're sitting on a car, always kind of read weird to me. Like, I appreciate it. I get it. I understand when entrances are a thing that you're doing over and over. And trust me, this is something I care deeply about.
Yeah.
You kind of at some point are just like, well, what if we just did this thing? And I again, almost argue myself back to a 5 because storyline wise, what it's trying to represent of, like, I have the wealth, I have the money, look at what I have. I have a butler, I have this fancy, nice car. Like, I get that. I just think in terms of, like, an actual entrance, if I have enough time to think, but why though? That's not, it takes me out. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Fair enough.
So that always kind of throws me off a little bit. But yeah, this is one of my, if not my favorite WrestleMania set ever. I think it is so, so special and cool. And the LED ramp was, at the time, revolutionary. Like, we might be tired of LED screens now, but back then, that was so freaking tight to have them walk down. And just the camera angles that they had, like, it felt bigger. Like, this being an outdoor stadium show, like, yeah. I'm with you, Greg. You were saying this last week, usually not my favorite. I like having a ceiling so you could blow it off. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, the level of the roar of the crowd and everything, like, you lose that when it's just into the sky. Somehow that wasn't lost here. People were so in the cheers for everybody. Like, it really felt like there were fans of all 4 competitors here. And as they would come out with their entrances, the entrances of each woman delivered to their fans what they were looking for at that moment, which I thought was great. Nia's was awesome. She comes in as this dominant force, the wind blowing. She looked scary in the best ways. Like, it was, I think, very, very, very well done. And then Bailey. I'm such a sucker for Face Bailey. The Bailey buddies, them popping out. Like, this felt awesome, her and her little outfit. I don't think she rocked. I think that there was a lack of confidence in how she wore the outfit going down. And I understand that because of Kinda Funny Live 3. I also had a cape with words on the back. And I was so self-conscious about people not being able to read it that a lot of the time I was kind of T-posing, just holding it out there.
And she
did that too. And I was like, girl, I feel you.
To jump in, sorry, and not take away from it, to add on, right? I feel like, even though I don't think that part of it's on purpose, I think that plays so well to the narrative thread of the match of, you're this new upstart from NXT. You didn't really beat Charlotte. You did, but it was with Sasha's help. Could you do it alone? Then she's the champion entering first because nobody believes in her. Is she a paper champ? And she looks kind of awkward and gets... Like, I liked all that, the way it builds them throughout to end the thing.
Absolutely. I'm right there with it. Thought the Bailey entrance was really damn special, and especially looking back to see where she's gotten to.
Yeah.
Having this entrance be this, like, I'm just happy to be here.
Right.
They nailed that. I thought that was so special. But God, the winner was Charlotte Flair. Like, are you kidding me? I think this is one of those entrances. Her music, the tribute to her dad, the fireworks, though. Her just standing there looking glorious as fuck. Charlotte Flair, man. Like, we'll talk about this during the match. There are moments that are like, how are you a real person? Like, you were made to be a wrestler. And in the complete opposite of Bailey, I don't think I've ever seen somebody look more confident than Charlotte Flair walking down that ramp. And when the fireworks are shooting off, it's almost like they're a distraction from her. Like she, it was all eyes on that woman. Like, big fan of this.
This episode of WrestleMania Ranked is brought to you by WWE 2K24. Step into the ring and finish your story with new match types like ambulance and casket matches, a roster of more than 200 superstars and legends, new career mode experiences, and so much more. The latest installment of the franchise features several advancements, including 2K Showcase of the Immortals. 40 years in the making, WWE 2K24's Showcase mode puts players in control, playing through the most iconic moments in WrestleMania history, as 2K's distinctive slingshot tech seamlessly morphs from gameplay to live-action footage and back again for the most immersive WrestleMania video game experience to date. Finish your story with Standard Edition cover superstar, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, or Deluxe Edition cover superstars Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair when WWE 2K24 launches on March 5th with early access and March 8th worldwide. Pre-order WWE 2K24 and receive 1 month of Peacock, US only, and WWE 2K23 digital only to play while you wait.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Michael.
Yeah, I gave this a 5 out of 5.
Ooh-wee.
Phenomenal. I was blown away by this entrance. This was so much fun, and I'll kind of rehash a lot what you guys already said, but I'm going to go off on this one because I loved every moment of it. I'm with you, Mega. I thought, wow, this is weird. The champ is coming out first. Like, what's up with that? But her poppiness, like what Bayley brought to it as babyface Bayley, it felt like, oh yeah, this is the first person that should come out. She had the little firework heart behind her. You had the hugger section with the tiny signs that we talked about last time and the wacky inflatable tube guys. That was fun. That was exciting. And then to absolutely change directions and bring out Nia Jax, who was no flair. This is Nia. Sure. She is scary looking. She's coming at you. You get the zoom in with the hair flowing. And that black and red outfit is undeniably awesome. I called it the ringleader because she looked right out of the circus like, I'm going to control what's going down inside this ring, because it looks like that when she takes it off. And so badass. The final shot where it goes up to Bayley and you see, oh, that is a baby right there. And then it goes to Nia and you go, oh, that is a grown woman about to battle this lady. This is amazing. And then Sasha was so cool, right? The purple LED ramp behind her. She's in the car. She has the flair. She looks like a million bucks. And that hip move when she does the hand into the hips, no one's doing that. And then she gets to the ring, grabs a hold of the actual rope and does this weird lean with it, and the fireworks behind her. It's like, this lady is so smooth. No one else has that kind of swagger in this ring right now. And I loved every moment. Fun fact for you, I asked, how did that car get out the way? Because they drive the car down, and then all of a sudden, if you stop right when she gets out the car and they pan away from it, that man has 40 seconds to take that car somewhere, and I don't know where the car went, because when they went back, it's Charlotte Flair time, and that car's nowhere to be seen. I thought maybe on the side of the ramp. No, it's so tight next to the ramp and the crowd, he had to drive that thing right back
up.
My
favorite
is amazing.
When you're live for those entrances, mm-hmm. whenever they have to get rid of something like that, it is always the most awkward thing.
Yeah.
So I love the TV presentation of it, and it disappears.
Oh,
in reality, people are like moving barricades, and it's like moving it 2 miles an hour backwards and awkwardly.
Unbelievable. And then to cap it all off with Charlotte Flair, I mean, she comes out, the green peacock outfit with just the diamonds dropping behind her. And there is one goal. It is not, hey, let's look at her. It's get to the spot, because we're about to blow this up with the fireworks. And she goes there, puts out the arms, fireworks all over her shoulders and arms, and then the turn to the back where the peacock feathers then unveil and the name. Oh, unreal stuff. She gets to the side of the ring, does a crazy cartwheel, and you're like, oh, this woman's got it. She is built for this. She looks different than everyone. No one's got it like her. And so, yeah, for me, it's 5 out of 5. These ladies absolutely brought it, and it was fun to watch, and it was hype to watch.
Okay. Let's move on to the match. Oh, I should be recapping. I forgot. Hype package. Greg gave it a 5. Tim gave it a 3. Mike gave it a 3. Mega gave it a 4. Entrances. I gave it a 4. Tim gave it a 4. Mike and Mega Ran gave it a 5. We now move on to the match itself. Mega Ran, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Overall, I feel like the match moved a little fast. I feel like maybe, you know, in Fatal 4-Ways and Eliminations, I feel like they maybe get rushed a little bit at some point. But some amazing spots, really great action. Charlotte looking like a million bucks. Just, you know, that corkscrew moonsault onto the outside just blew my mind. I had to watch that like 4 or 5 times.
Insane.
To see how she like hits it, lands on her feet still. Like, it's just, she's just different. Like, she is just different. So that, but what was most important to me is like how dominant Nia Jax was in the beginning of this match.
Yes.
I was excited because, you know, I mean, today, the community doesn't really look fondly on Nia Jax. But at this time, I think they were so determined on making her an absolute force and a monster that she completely dominates these women throughout the first 5 minutes of this match. And I was just like, whoa, is she going to, like, this, she's like squashes Bayley. I'm like, wait, is she just going to pin Bayley and get this over with? Like, I remember thinking that, like, oh, it's over. and then it was not. But, I think the match, the action was really good. It kind of went once we got like going. I feel like everybody got comfortable. The moment that changes everything for me is when Charlotte goes for the turnbuckle.
Yep.
And attempts to take off the middle turnbuckle. She doesn't get it all the way off.
Heartbreaker. So it's heartbreaker. Especially it's, like when you get to the end of the match, you realize how important that was to so many Spartans.
Right.
Really interesting.
It's like you're about to use this 3 more times and you did, but
nobody, no ring technician could come by and cut it while we're off. We're filming something over there.
I got to give her credit really quick because for me in my history, it's always been someone slowly untying it. So to see the power of this woman come up and rip it off, even if it was halfway off, I was blown away going, this is badass, y'all.
I wish they would have just took another moment to go after it again and just be like, all right, I need to really expose this so it can
drive this point home, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so especially as much as they wound up using it. So it's like, And Corey's kind of has to, you know, make up for it. Like, I don't think they got all of it, but, you know, maybe, you know. And it definitely changes the mood of the match for me. Like, that kind of took me out of it. But overall, I think the match is awesome. You got 4 amazing athletes going at it. Bayley retaining was unexpected at the time, even unexpected watching again. You're just like, what? All odds were against Bayley. And, you know, the idea of an and new at WrestleMania is just such a, you know, almost foregone conclusion for a lot of people. So to see her maintain it, I was impressed. I got to say, overall, because of the turnbuckle spot, it's a 3 for me.
Oh, wow. Okay. 3 out of 5 for Mega Ran. Tough crowd out there.
And
for,
I don't know what the time was, it felt pretty short. Like, I don't know if it was 10 minutes even. Like, it just felt really quick.
See, for me, I gave this a 4 out of 5. I think it's a great WrestleMania match. And for me, again, it is everything we've talked about, which is how this should work. Everything should matter to steal a line from Not Sam Wrestling, right? And so it is the idea that the hype package is setting up Nia to be a monster. You know, Bayley, does she actually belong here? This long rivalry. You get it from her coming out first in the entrances, let alone Nia steamrolling to the ring, right, to do what she's going to do. Charlotte being Charlotte, Sasha being Sasha. But then to get in there, right, like, it almost, I feel like there's always that moment when you're watching wrestling with somebody who's not a wrestling person. We're like, well, why wouldn't they just do this? And so for them to fully commit to making like Nia Jax, like when Kane first arrived, right? Of like, no, she is unstoppable. All 3 of them understand that and hate it. Wait, well, Charlotte hates 2 of them, but they'll work together to get this done. And the way they made Nia stand up, right? Her with the triple clothesline, amazing, right? Going in for these bonsai drops, like, hell yeah. when Charlotte chops her a bunch, but then Charlotte throws a punch, and it's just, again, Nia just staring at her and then throwing her off the apron into everybody else, right? And then this is, the entrance wind was great, but when it is Nia all alone in the ring, and she's throwing everybody out, and they're destroyed, and her hair's blowing, and then I was like, holy shit, is this fucking good? And then... I was watching here at the office yesterday, and I did audibly pop in, oh, when they finally double suplex Nia backwards, right? And they, it's like, damn, the way they did this to build her of like, she's like Jason Voorhees. We have to throw everything at it. I loved that buildup. I loved the little bit of when they finally eliminate her, right? Charlotte rolls out of the ring, goes, okay, you two fight. Like, to her friends or whatever. And then this obviously is everybody jumping out of the ring, doing moonsaults, doing corkscrews. It's insane. It's just such, it's so much fun there. Here's where I think we get the weird, a little bit of a weird slowdown, right? Again, with the turnbuckle business for Sasha's elimination, where it was like, oh, that wasn't as exciting, or yeah, I didn't love that part. But again, I understand it's wrestling and we're working on a net. It is what it is. But then I think we get into a really interesting ending of Charlotte, the veteran, Bayley, the rookie that nobody necessarily truly believes in. And we get this interesting for us in this show we're doing, right? Reflection of episode one again, where it is, Charlotte gets Bayley up in that tree of woe, which I'm always a sucker for. I always love the tree. Every creative character I've ever made in a WWE game is going to use the tree of woe at some point, right? Then we get, you know, finally Bayley does this scary back body drop to get her off there, right? Then she gets out of the tree and like wins there. But it is very similar to Daniel Ryan, like just stomping on Kofi, and Kofi finally just fucking standing up, like, you know, Woods was screaming at him, right? Bayley's able to do it. She gets a clean victory. She establishes herself that she is a champion. She does belong here. And I thought that was such. That was built so well from start to this to that finish, which I guess I've traipsed into our finish part, but you know what I mean. The match itself, I say 4 out of 5. And while I'm here, I'll say the finish, again, I gave the finish a 3 out of 5 because of the turnbuckle stuff and how we got there a little bit there. And then the fact that, yeah, it is just the stomping. And then, but then again, she's crying in the ring and doing the thing, but it doesn't have the same sentimentality of this, but there's still power to it. I digress. I'll give it over to you. Tim, what do you think of the match?
I'm aligned with you a lot. I just think I'm like a step lower, perhaps, because I'm at a 3 out of 5 for the match itself for a lot of the reasons we already talked about. But I think really this was a 3 to me, like pretty secured 3 with 4 moments and 2 moments as well. The turnbuckle stuff, I'm always a sucker for that. And like, I feel like we don't use it that much anymore. Like maybe I'm wrong there, but like seeing it here, it was kind of like a novelty where I was like, oh yeah, like they're going for it, but it not working fully. Was kind of a distraction.
Heartbreaker.
But I'm with you in the sense that the story was clear between these four women and their characters and what's going in. And having Bayley go in as champ, but it was an unclean win, to can she maintain it? Really felt like there's not a chance she's going to. And I did not remember this match at all. Like, no idea who won at, like, period. Mm-hmm. So watching it might as well have been my first time.
Nice.
And not really knowing the history that much. I mean, we're so far back, like, Charlotte's now what? It 15 time? 14 yeah. time? Like, we're getting close, right?
I thought it was 15. Is that right?
It's high. 15. Yeah.
I'm Google.
Which is wild, because like right now, Mike, Ric Flair is the most world champion of all time at 16. So his daughter, they managed to get her
14 time according time. To okay. Wikipedia.
They got her up to 14 already, which is like, all right, we'll see about this. But having this match, I was like, oh, there's no way Charlotte doesn't win. Like, watching it, I was like convinced Charlotte was going to win this thing. So I was kind of very happily surprised that it ended up being Bayley and the way that it all happened. I was like, oh yeah, wow. The storytelling of this match was pretty damn incredible. It gave Bayley that win, that clean win over all of these women that for different reasons were going to be major challenges for Bayley. But I think that, for everything I've said earlier about like Nia Jax shouldn't have been this match, I almost feel like Nia was kind of the highlight of this match in so many ways. Like, I think the bits that they had her in, the way that they treated her, and it very much was a 3-on-1. I'm always a sucker for those moments when they do them well, and I think that they did. Like, she seemed scary. The spots that they had felt believable, and sometimes the I'm gonna team up with my enemies can be very forced. It felt real. Like, it felt good and I bought in. I didn't know this was an elimination match, and I don't feel like they set that up. Like, it just kind of was. Like,
Fatal 4-Way, right?
But is that always the case for Fatal 4-Ways?
Yeah, right, Maker?
Not always. They had to say elimination. Yeah, they're not always. Sometimes it's just one pin to do it.
Because like a triple threat, right? It's just like the first to pin.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was a little thrown off there when there was like an elimination, but I was like, oh, cool. Like I was into the match enough that I was excited about that, that I wanted it to keep going. And the Nia bit I thought was great, but then I just feel like the storyline pieces, like they were serviceable and they served the plot to get to the end. But the Charlotte being like, okay, Sasha Bailey, you two fight. I was like, let's go. And I just feel like the best friends having their WrestleMania fight, I wanted more from that. And I'm not, I don't need them to turn on each other and like hate each other, or whatever. Put on a better show than you put on there. And gotcha. And I think that there was a lot of like things getting in the way, like with the turnbuckle and just with like the flow of everything. But I was a little let down by the storytelling of that part because there was so much potential. And then, you know, Flair, once she starts doing the spinning moonsault, it's like, oh, what's going on, man? And the commentary there, the replay where they go, what was the commentary, Mike?
Take a picture, frame it, hang it on the wall and stare at it all day. That's a piece of art.
And it really was. Beautiful. Like that was fantastic. And I thought that the end of the match was great, but like, yeah, I don't know. Cause like, we keep saying this, but there's something about Sasha that she just has a personality to every move she makes that like is unlike the others. Like she just has so much style, and I want to see that more. And I feel like specifically at this time with the genuine best friendship that her and Bailey had in the storylines and all that, seeing the two of them together, I was just like, oh no, like I want more from that, you know?
Sure.
So 3 out of 5 for me.
Michael?
I'm high on this. I gave it a 4 out of 5 because I have just one word for it. It was fun, and that's what I'm all about. That's what I'm looking for here. I had a smile on my face the entire time. The beginning with Nia Jax was a ton of fun to see how strong she is, to see the three of them go up against each other, her throwing them all around, and then the ringside gather where it goes 1, then 2, then 3, and we look at each other and go, let's go, and we go, and all three of them had to get on top of Nia Jax for the countout. That was phenomenal and a ton of fun. And then capped off with a hilarious moment of Charlotte Flair going, great job, with a high five.
Yeah, both
of them looking, going, nah, we ain't high-fiving you. And then she gets the slide out and goes, okay, you two fight. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed the lead up to this. And then the mid part of Charlotte Flair going to the top rope and doing the spinning cork or the corkscrew moonsaw off of the top rope out of the ring on top of these two girls was unbelievable to see. I mean, the talent and the idea of, I'm going to put my body on the line and do something so crazy was so cool to see.
Casually. And
she did that not only once, but then she did the just normal moonsaw jump, and she lands flat on her body. Like, no arms, no legs catching it, just perfectly flat. And that was something really cool to see because, yeah, they're taking bumps and they're doing it. And it was wild to see the talent there. I loved every moment, and I thought for me, the ending was very interesting, right? We talk about, how do you end this? What is that finisher? How do you get everybody involved? And to see them work the corner and be up on those kind of the turnbuckles on the side where Bailey's hanging upside down and fighting for her life, I thought that was really fun and different and unique from what I've seen so far. So I loved this. I had a great time with this. Definitely a 4 out of 5.
While you're there, traipse into the finish for me, Mike. Because you and I have touched on it because I was too excited. I talked too much, right? And again, 3 out of 5. One of my notes that I haven't talked about, right, is I loved getting out of the Tree of Woe. I loved going up. One of the things, and this is a performance issue or performer issue, I guess, but it's also, I think, maybe like I was talking about with this narrative thread in the storyline, if she is the underdog, even though she's the champ thing, I really wish she would have drank in the elbow drop like Macho Man did.
Oh,
right? Mm-hmm. When Macho would get up there, he would do the whole like, own it. I am the fucking, I think that would have been a cool turn for Bailey in that moment. Even if it was that one moment of like, fuck you all, I Confident. Am the champ. Bah, gah, right? It just happened so fast. And obviously we all get it if you've seen Macho Man drop the elbow before and they call it out of like shades of, you know, her hero, Macho Man Randy Savage. It was like, yes, but I would have loved a little bit more out of that. And I feel like that's in general, right? The finish of it, a little bit more out. Even the celebration of being the champion, like I get it, but it was like, I wanted to see her own being the champ. And that's why 3 out of 5 then.
Yeah, I'll jump off of that. I gave it a 4 out of 5 because I liked the work in the corner, like I've already brought up.
Yeah.
But I also did like the Macho Man elbow drop because when you see it, it is phenomenal to see when you really break it down.
Yeah.
Man, that girl is up there flying and she is now horizontal. And here it comes. Like, that was wicked dope to see. And I know we've played around with the word finisher here, and I just want to highlight, we saw a phenomenal bank statement from Sasha on top of Charlotte. I mean, her hands are on that woman's mouth and across her face, and it's gross. It's mean looking, and it was so cool to see that. We got to see the leg lock. We saw the corkscrew moonsaw and the moonsaw. I mean, it was really cool. At Moonsault. Thank you. Everybody was doing something cool there. So I want to call that out. And also, since we don't talk commentary anymore, I just want to say I'm a Michael Cole guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really like Corey Graves together. I like those two. That's my combo.
Love that. Yeah. Megan, what did you think of the finish?
Oh, man. I thought the finish was as good as it could have been. But again, I mean, just that turnbuckle took a lot out of it for me. I think it took them a while to even kind of set it up. And I don't know if they were trying to determine if they were going to finish with that. Like maybe somebody told them to wrap it up. You know, like when you look at that end moment, there's like a little bit of awkwardness. There's maybe the final 10 seconds of the match. It looks like Charlotte gets the hit. And then I guess it takes a while to register. And then she falls. And then she's kind of making sure she's in the position. And then Bailey doesn't, you know, like you said, Bailey doesn't really drink it in and give that moment, like the arrival moment, you know?
Yeah, it's
like,
exactly.
This is the time to, you know, there's an old JR quote. I think it was, God, who was it? Maybe it was Jeff Hardy. Make yourself famous, kid, or something like that. He would say, like, go get it. Like, this is your moment to make a WrestleMania moment happen. And maybe just embracing it right there with the arms up. And dropping that elbow would have really drove it home for me. But it just looked a little awkward, like that finish. And to like let Sasha go out without a finisher happening. Like, okay, granted, you hit the turnbuckle, it's supposed to really hurt you. But maybe also then do a natural selection on her, then pin her or something like that.
Sure.
I would have liked to see that maybe. But as I listened to everybody doing this, I'm like, I understand. Everybody was super protected. I will say that, like, as far as like everyone comes out of this looking like the stars they are.
Yeah.
You know, so
100%.
And that is the goal of a WrestleMania match. Like, no one looked weak. No one looked like a weak link or anything. So,
and you figure it sets up so much, right? I'm with you. Yeah. Like, I would have loved to see Charlotte do something else to Sasha, even if she was knocked out. But then Sasha's able to come out like, I didn't really lose. You cheated. I hit that. Nia Jax is like, it took three of you to beat me. Bayley's like, I finally did the damn thing. Right. And the moment they have of Bailey's already won and Charlotte's out there right on one knee, like running the match in her head kind of thing. She's ring technician. Where'd I go wrong? Like, I love that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did a great job of still making everybody look like the superstars they are. And I was about to go with a two, and then I thought, you know what? I'm going up to three.
All right,
three
good. For the finish. I'll take that. I like that. And then we come, of course. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't get for you to go
right there with Rand there, dude. 3 out of 5, and I could have flirted with the 2. Like, I think the thing is, this was very, very serviceable, like in a good way. Like,
this
kind of hit everything it needed to, and I think I'm right there aligned with him in the sense that this wasn't a WrestleMania moment, but I do think that it was a very important moment for WrestleMania. And having these four women together and put on a show this good and have me be like, it was fine. I think that's a real testament to the quality of these performers and how amazing that they were then and how amazing they are now. And y'all are telling me there was a 6-woman SmackDown title match at this same WrestleMania. That's 10 women at the very least competing for women's championships. And having all that mean something and matter, I think is incredible. And I think that this match is a perfect example of like, you're not going to have a bad time watching this. Like this was great. There's so many good stories, to be told and so many stories continued. Like you were talking about, Greg, of like the setup, so much great stuff. So I'm giving it a 3. But it was really good.
We come to overall, if you've never seen this show before, because this is episode 2, and I see some people have just wandered into the Patreon, they're like, I don't know what the hell's going on. And we here come down, it's not an average, it's whatever, it's wherever you are. And for me, I think this is a 4 out of 5 great WrestleMania match. Again, I love it as a package of from start to finish, where we went, the story that was told. Could you enjoy it out of context, let alone to what Mike said, are you having fun? I had fun with it. I can nitpick, you know, this, that, and the other. I wish for them. Like, that's my biggest thing. When something doesn't go right in a wrestling match, like the turnbuckle, more than anything, I'm like, oh, I feel so bad for them. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing you can do. Like, you know, I tried to cut my fucking strings on my hoodie before this, and Kevin did one, and then it turned out it was cut different. I'm like, oh, man, I'd go back to Joey and cut it. Like, you know, imagine that's in front of 1,000 people, million people, whatever it's going to be. Like, it's a far different thing. But I had a great time with this match, again, for its placement in time. Hey, this is what the women's division is right now and how exciting it is. I think, you know, to look at that through that lens, I think that's an interesting parallel to where we are right now, where, again, right now in modern WWE, like, the women's division's great, don't get me wrong, but, like, Rhea Ripley, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's just a monster. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see competitors, too, and I want to see people be able to exist on that level with her and challenge her and chase the way this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I digress. Mega?
So, overall, I think you hit it on the head. It was fun. Like, from the beginning, from Bayley coming out, getting everybody excited, from the Bayley buddies down to the Macho Man elbow. Macho's my favorite wrestler of all time, so she hit me right in the feels with that. So I got to say it's a 5 because it delivered on the fun factor. Like, you know, mistakes aside, you know, it's not something that anybody could help in the moment. You're just moving through, trying to get it done. I thought this match was short. I just looked. It was 12 minutes. As opposed to the 6-pack challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship, which was 5 minutes.
Oof.
So 6 people got eliminated within a 5-minute match. So I can just imagine how that had to go. So I think they got enough time for everybody to get amazing moves in and make their moments. And they all came out of this looking as big, if not bigger, than they were, you know, from entrances to finish. So, yeah, I think it's a 5. It delivered.
Love it. Tim,
I think it's a 3. It delivered, you know, like that's the thing. It delivered. It did the thing. And I think WrestleMania, man, it's WrestleMania. If we're going to be given 5 to matches, I want it to be like, wow, that was special. Mm. And I think that this was this is just what I expect. And again, that's a testament to the women that are a part of it. Like, it's not like they didn't do enough. It's for just sure. This is just what I expect from them.
OK,
yeah.
Michael.
4 out of 5, great. I had a fun time. I had a great time. I got to see some wicked, awesome moves delivered by uber-talented women who really showed up and shined, each and every one of them, to the point where, as the newbie here, right, I want to see where they're all at, what they do, follow them, because it was awesome to see all 4 of them.
Recapping overall, Mega gave it a 5. Me and Mike gave it a 4. Tim gave it a 3. But before we rank these Mania matches, our opinions don't matter. The only opinion that matters is Cool Greg in a segment we call One Man Gang Gang.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for having me. Shout out Kind of Funny Best Friends, Megaran, love you too.
What up?
I do want to say, I think, just like last week, I want to give this more, I want to give it a 5 out of 5 because I'm such a fan of Sasha. But when it comes down to it, I think she was more important in the storytelling up into the match rather than the match. I feel like you could have took her out of the match and it wouldn't have changed too much. I think her entrance was dope. Kind of took me out of it. So I got to leave this at a 4. But if you had more Sasha, it could have been a 5.
Do you want to yell at your brother? I saw you in the comments pissed off at one point. He has opinions, man. That's what it is. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. Then we come to the final segment of the show here on WrestleMania Ranked, where we rank the matches. So far, the list is pretty simple. One match is on it. Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan from WrestleMania 35 in our number one slot. Where do you want to put this Fatal 4-Way, Tim?
I put it at number 2 behind that. That one's easily above this for me.
Mike?
I'll put it at number 2. I had more fun watching this match, but the impact and the storyline of course, Kofi and Daniel Bryan was way better and really step well with me, so I'll keep that at number 1.
Okay. Mega, I know you weren't on that episode, but to compare, if you did, where would you put it?
Oh, man, I can't compare this to that. This is apples and doorknobs. I think, you know, great match, great moment, you know, but Kofi Mania was a cultural, like, iconic event that, like, really shook wrestling and brought so many new fans in. So yeah, this is number 2, but just maybe by some distance.
Yeah, I'm right there with you where, you know, last week, of course, the overalls for the Kofi Daniel Bryan match were Tim and Amanda with 5s, me and Mike with 4s. Not that that matters at all for this, but for me, these are both great WrestleMania matches, right? This and to get to this Fatal 4-Way, I had a great time with it. I loved it. And I think that I might have enjoyed the through line more of it. But again, the importance of Kofi winning, right? And Kofi Mania and that and the kids and the, you know, the New Day and Taryn. Like, for me, it's interesting to think about these matches. Because I feel like for the Fatal 4-Way, I'm going to remember spots. Whereas for the Kofi match, I'm remembering moments. Where it is, you know, Woods ripping the black, getting rid of Daniel's title, ripping off the black sheet, having the new title, everybody popping, everyone in the arena, right, going crazy for it. Like,
yeah,
that's WrestleMania. This was a great showcase and a great establishment for Bayley, let alone, like we were saying, protecting everybody and making them special. Yeah. But I agree. Yeah. Bayley versus Charlotte versus Sasha versus Nia Jax will enter and represent WrestleMania 33 at number 2 on our list, ladies and gentlemen. But remember, there's a lot more WrestleMania ranked for you. Of course, we have 8 more episodes left. That's right, you are 8 weeks away from WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. And to find out what your homework is, what match you have to watch for next Thursday's show, we turn it over to WWE superstar Zelina Vega.
What's up, guys? It's Zelina Vega here, and my favorite WrestleMania match was The Rock versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Why? Well, it was kind of like, I mean, first of all, two legends, two icons of the business, but you have the big dog and you have the new dog coming in to take his spot. So they tell that story beautifully. You can see it in the crowd. You can see it. You can feel that electricity that The Rock is talking about in that match. So make sure you check it out.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. WrestleMania 18, The Rock versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Icon versus icon, I believe they called it, Mega Ran.
Yes. Oh, man, what a moment. That that match, this the crowd alone, I think, you know, we always talk about the Canadian crowds being so special. And the crowds just, I think, really powered that match through and just made it even more special. But so iconic.
Well, I'm jacked for this one. I mean, at the and have you ever watched this match, Mike?
No, never.
Okay, and I know a lot of people out there haven't either, but if you've heard me talk about it in wrestling in general, lots of times when people are, what's your favorite match of all time? What's the best wrestling match of all time? I put this on the short list, yep. And it's one of those, it's not for the technical aspects of it. It is just like, God, wrestling. Oh, man. And so Mike, to see, I don't know the last time I watched it was, let alone the last time I thought about it in a entrances, this, that, you know, what's the package? Like, I'm stoked to go through and do this.
I mean, Mike, let me tell you this. Like, I cannot wait to see your reaction to this match because, like, it is, they've tried to do, it's the biggest WrestleMania match. It's Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And I get it. That's huge and that's big. Oh, it's The Rock and John Cena. We never thought we'd see it. All this stuff. None of that will ever compare to this. This was like a, like to say once in a lifetime is silly because we've now seen it a couple times in our lifetime. Nothing will compare to this though, because it was in a lot of ways, the end of the Attitude Era, right? Like at the very least, like the phasing out of it all, like it was the WrestleMania of wrestling at that time.
We shall see how it ranks next week. But for this week, thank you so much, Mega Ran, for joining us. Where can people keep up with you?
Thank you. I am at MegaRan.com. I am all over the internet. You can find me at MegaRan anywhere. That's right.
Easy.
I'm always on tour, so MegaRan.com/shows.
You know, I wasn't going to yell at you about it, but I did notice you were in the Bay Area like last week and you didn't swing by. I'm not, you know, I know you're busy.
I'm sorry. You know? It was a super quick trip.
All right, next time, you got to promise to come by and see the new studio. And everybody promised me, Greg Miller, you're going to go watch Mega Ran Royal Rumble Rap. Of course, it's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. It's on all the different music services. And I got to watch this whole
video.
Dude,
this is awesome.
We're lucky enough to be Mega's nice. And if you're a Patreon person right now or a YouTube member, if you're a Kind of Funny membership person, you're seeing this before it's public for anybody. This is a very, very special tease for you. So we haven't had the chance to see it because it's not live yet, and I want to see it real bad.
World premiere. So when you guys check it out, let me know what you think.
Will do. That's another episode of the Kinda Funny Screencast Special, WWE WrestleMania Ranked. Remember, each and every week leading up to WrestleMania 40, we're reviewing and ranking a match handpicked by our wrestling friends like Zelina Vega, who picked The Rock versus Hogan at WrestleMania 18. You need to do your homework and come back next Thursday to watch us review and rank it. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get my daily exclusive show, Gregway, in your ears and eyes. You can get the Kinda Funny screencast for free with ads and without the exclusive content on YouTube and podcast services around the globe. Until the next time, that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.